morning, Joshua.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord of lords, King of kings, here I am again, Lord, standing before your people, dear heavenly Father, in attempt to give the word that you have given me, dear heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you to decrease me so you may increase, dear heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you to take me out of it, dear heavenly Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, thy strength and my redeemer. Amen. To the pastor, Pastor Emeritus, pulpit members and friends, visitors, my text this morning will be coming from 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. The pastor has read this text earlier, but I am going to read it again. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. And the word says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Amen? My granddaughter Nadia came into my room while I was praying. And she slid right beside me and started praying too. I began to pray out loud in order to help teach her how to pray and talk to God. As I started praying for everyone and everybody else, Nadia said, and I pray for Nadia and Sana too. I thought to myself, what a concept that this 7-year-old had about God. She is understanding that we have to pray for ourselves as well as others. Some of us may feel today that we should only pray for others. Some of us have been struck with the stigma of what people call us, and that defines our character and abilities. Some of us have just accepted the hand that life has given us and stayed stuck. We have no direction, and we are empty inside. But that is not what God wants for our lives. And it is only him that can bring us out of our present state and even elevate us to a higher level. But we have to pray and ask him. Yeah. My thing this morning is praying through the weight of it all. Jabez was born into the tribe of Judah. And the word says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. My commentary tells me that he was called honorable because of his fervent piety, which means he displayed a quality of being religious or reverent. It may have been because of some of his public and patriotic works. Jewish writers affirm that he was an eminent doctor in law and whose reputation drew so many scribes around him that a town was called by his name. 1 Chronicles 2:55. In Hebrew, honorable means to weigh heavily. This could have been because of the weight carrying of his positive character or the weight of being wealthy. For this text, we will look at the weight carried so heavily. We find that Jabez was a man that had more ability and nobility than his brothers. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the name of his father or mother, but it was his mother that named him and gave him the name Jabez. Yeah. She named him that name, which meant pain. She says in verse 9, I gave birth to him in pain. The pain that this mother is speaking about may have been due to physical discomfort because the labor was so great, or the mental pain due to Jabez's father dying after he was conceived. But whatever the reason, the events of his birth tempered his life and character. As we look at Jabez, let us look at someone else that was born with heaviness of weight. It was the custom of the Jewish culture for the man to name the children. Jabez's mother named him because his father wasn't mentioned to be anywhere around. Now, there was Joseph, the husband of Mary, that did not impregnate Mary, and he didn't even name the child that was coming into the world. But it was the angel that appeared to Mary that told her that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and that his son would be named Jesus, meaning Son of God. The weight of the world on his shoulders. Jesus was and is truly the most noble, loving, and gracious Savior ever to be born on earth. He is the only one that has carried such weight in order to save us from our sins so that death would not be the end for all those that believe. Jesus wasn't born in Norton's Hospital. He and Mary didn't get the lobster dinner they used to serve the parents after the baby was born back in the day. But Jesus was born in a manger around livestock who were the first to witness his birth. Jesus was treated unjustly, crucified on the cross, where he died but later rose from the sleep of death. Jesus' beginning seemed to have been, wasn't attractive. But in the end, he ascended to heaven to gain the riches of being on the right hand of God. Yeah. Now, I defer that Mary had to have some mental stress going on here. Here she was engaged to a man and thought to be a virgin and now pregnant. This is some way to start a new life with a husband. I wouldn't have believed her. I find it interesting that the scriptures mention Jabez's honor before the negativity of his name. But I contribute this to showing us that you don't have to start the way you end up. Just because people call you a certain name that may be negative, it may seem to describe your character, but it doesn't have to define who you are. Turn your character around and bring positivity to your life. Medea says, it's not what they call you, but what you answer to. In verse 10, Jabez called on the Lord, his God, with a request that would bless him. God granted this request threefold. First, Jabez asked God to increase his land. Secondarily, Jabez asked God's hand to be with him. And third, Jabez asked God to protect him from evil, and God granted his request. Listen up now, because there's some teaching going on here. So why did God answer to what seems to be such a selfish request? Let us look at Jabez's request. It may seem to enlarge Jabez's territory would have been at the expense of someone else. But Jabez asked God to increase his territory. And he didn't give God a specific area, but he trusted God to decide what part of his territory needed to be increased. One's territory doesn't mean more land, houses, or money. It could also mean one's mental state, our spiritual life. Whichever it was, Jabez asked God to help him grow. Here is a man who feared God and recognized that he couldn't do anything or flourish without God's help. Jabez knew that he was a man that would sin, and he needed God's help to keep away from sin. Jabez knew that he needed God to guide him through his life, and he knew that he needed God's hand all the time. Yeah. Proverbs, the third chapter, 5-6 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. This is where we look at our relationship with God. Jesus was without sin, and he knew the presence of God. Jesus had no desire for any land or honor that the land would even give. In fact, Jesus went out of his way to avoid any honor that the world would give. However, we can fit ourselves in the character of Jabez. For we are sinful, and it's through the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin that we come to Jesus, allowing him to become our Lord and Savior. The man of sorrows was wounded by his transgression and bruised for our iniquity. We are reminded in Isaiah 53 that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, the weight of the world. Yeah. Jabez was very aware that sin was a barrier between him and God, so he prayed for himself and he asked God to protect him from his enemies, and that included protection from his own sinful nature. Sometimes we are our own enemies. And we need protection from ourselves. Even those that have been saved by grace are prone to sin. We need to constantly ask God for deliverance for ourselves. As it says in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. And that means all evil, including you. Sometimes. And God granted his request. Why do we think that God wants us to be at peace in this world of chaos? Do we think that God wants to bless us and we sit around and reap all the benefits? Or is it because he wants us fit in all areas of our lives in order to help build his kingdom? First Peter 5th chapter 5 through 6 says, the 6th verse, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In due time. When he gets ready. When he sees fit. On his clock. We are to pray and ask God for what we want and wait. And he will grant our request if it is in his will. Now, God doesn't want to give us things that would be harmful to us. And some of us ask God for the very thing that will destroy us. Yeah. I gotta have him. Yeah. I know you sent him. I had a dream about a red shirt and he had a red shirt on. I know it was him, Lord. Oh, okay, he don't have a job. Okay, he's got a history. He used to rob people, now he don't rob people as much. But I know this red shirt, because you're going to turn him around. You're going to turn him around. We allow our emotions and feelings to get the best of us. Hallelujah. And run after the very thing that will put us under the table and blame God for it. He did it. You got to know God's red flags. First of all, feelings are not fact. We don't know what's best for us. Only God knows. And after you get crushed, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Even after we put ourselves in nasty situation, God still says, bring it all to me. God will help you to hold on while teaching you to trust him. And when you come to the Lord, Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. The pastor has said, this is the year of revival. This is the year to pray to God to be renewed. He spoke on personal revival. We have to ask God to renew us personally. We have to ask God to strengthen our relationship with Him. We have to be fit to the best of our ability in order to go out and make disciples. I was talking to a member of the church about self-prayer, and he shared that he was raised to only pray for others, and that it is selfish to ask God anything for yourself. I thought about it, and I realized that there was a time that I thought the same way. But after studying, praying, and listening to God, learning to listen to God, learning to know His hand, I find that that's not the case. You know, I stayed in darkness probably a little longer than I had to because I thought it was wrong to pray for myself. Not only was I not worthy of God, but they was just selfish, and I didn't need anything else for Him to be mad at me about. I had enough. Until one day, when the weight of my living was on my shoulders, I couldn't raise my head. I laid straddled on the floor and said, "Lord, if you would just crack the door open, I'll slither through." And God said, "My child, that door has always been open. Come and walk with me through that door. Come into a new land and a new life through me." And I have been running to the Lord ever since. We would never be worthy of God, but for those that believe, He has sent us His Son, and by His stripes, we are healed. Now, don't get me wrong. We are grateful for when others pray for us. But who can God go to God better on my behalf than me? Who knows specifically all of my concerns like I do? Who can explain the weight of my burdens like I can? So we have to pray for all things. We have to pray when the weight of the world gets heavy. We have to pray when the weight of responsibility becomes a burden. We have to pray when the weight of emptiness seems like your cup would never get filled. We have to pray when the weight of our own sinful nature as well as for protection from our enemies. We have to pray when the weight of getting off track causes us to stumble, as well as praying to stay on track in order to walk steady. You know, it's really hard when things are going good and when things are going all right. It's hard to pray. You know, we don't pray. We forget. But when the storm comes, see, we can trust God when everything is all right. We can love Him, love the church, love the people. But when the storm comes, can you trust Him? You have to pray for yourself and ask Him to keep you when the storm comes. You have to ask Him to keep you when the sun is out. You have to ask God for everything in your life. God will grant your requests in due time because it's all for the glory of Him. God is not blessing us just for us. Pastor Andreas Price was having Bible study years ago, and he presented this prayer. Well, I had already got the little book. As soon as I heard that you asked God to increase your territory, I just knew that I was going to have all these things that I wanted to have. And I was getting ready to get it, so I got the little book. Have y'all seen the Jabez's Prayer? You know, it's a little bit cute little book, you know. So I took it underlined and started writing on the list of things, because it said I'm supposed to bring everything to the Lord, and I gave my list of things of all that I wanted and that I thought that I needed, and everything and everybody in my life. And I was really satisfied about that. But one thing about God, if you're going the wrong direction and your heart is clear, He'll put you in correction. Because what I found out was that God is not going to bless me not to bless others. That means I got to share.
Yeah, that's right.
That means I got to help my brethren.
Yeah.
Now that don't, that means I know God's giving me common sense, but when you're praying for yourself and you're praying to him, his, the Holy Spirit will guide you and tell you who to touch and who not to touch. You've got to be in the connection with God. You got to have that relationship with God. And it's, it doesn't happen overnight, but you got to ask him. So I have already, I've said this several times, and I don't know how many people have tried it, but I'm going to keep saying it. For 7 days, pray for nobody but yourself. Thank God for everything about you. And then tell somebody how you feel in those 7 days. It doesn't mean that that the situation has changed, but maybe you will. Maybe you will change. Prayer is powerful, and it's not a myth. God is not a myth. He is real. And so we come to him. He invites us to bring it all to him. He tells us, now I'm not going to tell none of y'all to bring none of y'all mess to me all the time. I ain't got time. Now, you know, when you ask somebody, how you doing? And somebody says, I'm not doing too good. You go, I was expecting fine so I could keep it going. So now I got to ask, what's the matter? You know. But God is not named Cassandra, and he ain't got y'all's name either. You know, so when you bring it to him, and you say, Lord, I done come to you so many times, I know you're tired. Now we get tired. God don't get tired. So you pray for yourself, and it's okay. Because if you believe, or I'm going to ask the question, and you're very free to answer it, do you believe that God loves all his children? Do you believe that God loves all of his children? Are you one of God's children? Then that includes you. I'm not going to sit and wait for somebody to pray for me. I'm going to pray for myself. And by the time you pray for me, you better catch up. Because I can only tell the Lord what I need him to know and wait and be patient and ask God. Because I have to tell God, I can't take hints. You got to make it plain. You got to make it clear, because if I could have took hints, I probably wouldn't be in the situation I am today. You probably wouldn't have to bring me out all those dug holes and pits and downfalls if I could take a hint. And what he does is make it clear, and he deals with you individually. My message is not your message, but you'll get the message. All you have to do is lay before the Lord. Has it gotten so bad sometimes you can't get on your knees? You got to lay on your face. You can't. Has it got so bad where you couldn't even speak it out? All you could just say is, Lord, mercy. Oh, Lord. You can't even say nothing but calling on the name of Jesus. That's all you could say. But he hears the utters and the mutters. All you have to do is just ask him, and he'll help you. Yes. All you got to do is go to him in prayer, and you don't always have to be on your knees. Oh, Heavenly Father, fall, Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes you just walk through the streets and just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for all that you've done. Lord, help me, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I don't know about where this next step is going to take me, but Lord, all I know is that if I hold on to your unchanging hand, that I won't fall, nor will I be destroyed. I'm going to go through some things. He never said that I wouldn't, but I'd rather be broke with the Lord than be broke without the Lord. Hear me what I'm saying. Lord, church, you've got to pray for yourself. This is the year for asking God to renew our minds, renew our bodies, put us in the direction that we need to go. So if you believe that you are a child of God, this includes you. I will continue to pray for you as I pray for myself. This is my message this morning. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. We ask those that have been praying for the strength to make that next move and come and present themselves to God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we ask you to come. As the music plays, now is the time to sit back and meditate and think about all the things that God has done and pray for the strength that you need, dear Heavenly Father. Help, dear Heavenly Father. Now is the time that you go to him and ask him, will you come? Come and trust the Lord. Would you all please stand?
This is your invitation. There's still time.